Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
In a remote African jungle, a small monkey is captured. The animal carries a deadly virus.
Now, I know that some of us have doubts about what we're about to do. We'd be less than human if we didn't. But the fate of the nation, perhaps the world, is in our hands. We cannot, we dare not refuse this burden. I'm confident that each of you will do his duty. God forgive us.
Your town is being quarantined.
We got 19 dead. We got 100 more infected. It's spreading like a brush fire.
What are you talking about?
If one of them's got it, then 10 of them have got it now. And if one of them gets out of Cedar Creek, we have a very interesting problem.
That bug gets out of there, 260 million Americans will be dead or dying.
I'm leaving.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. That's from the 1990s movie Outbreak. Back in the 50s, when I was a kid, there was a movie called Panic in the Streets. Again, a similar theme. An infected individual is running wild in the streets, and they're trying to find them. And now we have a panic spreading in America over the Ebola epidemic that is raging out of control, by the way, in several countries in Africa. And people are not panicking quite yet, but they're asking questions that are logical. So let's begin at the beginning on the Savage Nation. Remember this, the government is saying don't overreact and don't panic. But the opposite of overreaction is underreaction. And the opposite of alarmism is Pollyannaism. I'm going to try and strike a middle ground. Both sides are extreme responses. What we need to do today on the Savage Nation is use logic and find the middle ground in our reaction to this Ebola outbreak in Africa and the stupidity of this government bringing diseased individuals into a nation where the Ebola virus does not exist in human beings. It is madness, pure madness. Remember, the first rule of medicine is doctor, do no harm. It's a shame that our Centers for Disease Control has become nothing but an arm of the government, where there is virtually no independence in thought, as there is no longer any independence of thought in the media. It's the government science medicine complex. I don't look to the CDC for answers on anything anymore. I haven't for over 30 years. They're all politicians. It doesn't mean there aren't wonderful scientists working inside the NIH and the CDC. There are. But the leadership is political. As such, I don't trust the word they say. So should we be panicked or shouldn't we be panicked? Well, I would say not so fast. The first rule of epidemiology is identify the source of the epidemic and then isolate the area. The last thing on earth you want to do is bring the source to a country that does not have the disease. This is madness. It is political stupidity on the part of Obama and this whole government. So let me begin with an article I wrote yesterday. Most of you were playing golf or going to the beach, which you should do. That's what normal people do. But I'm not normal. I'm a talk show host who spends 7 days a week on this show. And I wrote this article yesterday. I want to begin by saying that I'm not a virologist. I'm not an expert in the field of virology. But I probably know as much, if not more, than anybody in the media on epidemiology, because that's where I earned my, that's what I earned my doctorate in from the University of California at Berkeley in 1978. But more importantly than that is that I was very lucky. When I first started my graduate work in 1968, I had a wonderful friend named Dr. Robert Desowitz, who died in 2008. And he was one of the greats in hemorrhagic fevers and malaria. He knew a lot about Marburg before I even knew what it was. We spent a lot of time talking about dengue fever because I was going in and out of the areas where dengue was endemic in the South Pacific to do my research. And he was cautioning me on mosquito-borne illnesses and whatnot. And many a nights were spent over many beers and various foods discussing hemorrhagic fevers and whatnot. So I'm not him, but I learned a lot from him going back a long time. And I would say that that's an important thing to talk about. And that's part of why what I'm about to discuss with you today on the Savage Nation about Ebola is as good as an information source as you're going to get anywhere in the world. When you get the government media complex telling you, don't worry whatsoever, that's nonsense. Because you can't rule out the fact that it won't spread. I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying it's going to be an epidemic in America. But for like NBC Science, oh, don't worry about it. It's fine. These are the same people who are ignoring the tuberculosis that's coming in from Mexico with the hordes that Obama's bringing in. These are the same government liars in the media telling us not to worry about anybody coming in from Central America when, in fact, cholera is endemic in Mexico and Central America. And they're bringing in cholera. And our Border Patrol agents are reporting that they're getting cholera and tuberculosis. So I'm supposed to believe the NBC doctor? I'm supposed to believe the CDC doctors who are looking the other way when we have TB and cholera coming in over the border? No, I'm not going to look the other way. So now that I've set the stage for it, let me begin by reading the article I wrote, which you can find on michaelsavage.com, the Drudge Report, WorldNet Daily. The title is very clear. It says it all. Savage says America's response is madness. And if you can't listen to the show, you can read it later on. And here's how it begins. The madness of Ebola is only matched by the madness of America. Well, let's start with common sense. If a member of your family has the viral illness known as the common cold, what do you normally do? Well, you try to avoid contact with that person. Certainly you want to avoid them sneezing on you or the droplets from their cough spreading anywhere in the house. Isn't that what you would do? And then what do? Well, you both isolate and avoid an infected patient, even if they have the common cold. Well, Ebola is a viral illness. Common sense would dictate that you isolate and avoid contact with patients because in this case, unlike the common cold, as you know, the disease can be fatal. And yet the morons who are running America and the CDC are bringing infected patients to America, allegedly to treat them. But we all know it is currently an untreatable disease. It can only be managed. The entire story of bringing these Ebola patients from West Africa to America stinks to high heaven. And there is much more involved, I wrote. So let's look at what Ebola is. Ebola is one of several viral hemorrhagic fevers. In the field of epidemiology, it is known as a non-vector-borne infectious disease. This means it is not, and I repeat, not transmitted by an insect or other vector. Other similar non-vector-borne infectious diseases you may have heard of would include hantavirus. You remember the hantavirus contracted from rodent droppings? Incidentally, that's an interesting a study unto itself. The word hanta came from the Hanta River in Korea because several hundred of our American troops developed hantavirus during the Korean War as a result of some experiments that had gotten out of control. Lassa fever, Marburg virus are others. But then there are hemorrhagic diseases that are vector-borne, and it's important for you to know the difference. And they're transmitted by mosquitoes, and they include dengue and yellow fever. Now, while each of these diseases is different, they are all hemorrhagic fevers, and some of them have common symptoms. Flushing of the face and chest, small red and purple spots, bleeding, swelling caused by edema, low blood pressure, and shock. And, of course, in some diseases and cases, symptoms are more dramatic than in others. It should be noted for the audience that there has been a bioterrorism potential related to the hemorrhagic fever viruses. Some of them can be transmitted to humans through a respiratory route. And although there is no current evidence that any of these viruses have been weaponized or developed into a biological weapon, all of them are considered by military medical planners to have a potential to be disseminated through the air, to be weaponized, or to be used with other agents that could weaponize them. So I would ask then, why are they bringing patients to Atlanta when they should have been treated in Africa? They should have been treated in Africa. Remember the billions of dollars that Bill Clinton gave to Africa? Remember the Africa initiative? Where'd that money go? Up the noses of the leaders of Africa? Why didn't they build hospitals in Africa? Well, I think you have to look at the money involved. But before we follow the money as to what's involved in terms of the potential vaccine profits, let's look at this disease itself. Ebola is one of the various viral hemorrhagic fevers. And there have been notable outbreaks of hemorrhagic fever in history. In Mexico, in 1545, there was an outbreak that wiped out a great part of the population. Then there was the great yellow fever epidemic of 1793 in Philadelphia, another type of hemorrhagic fever, yellow fever, in which nearly 10% of the population of 50,000 succumbed to the disease. In Congo, in 1998 to 2000, there was an outbreak of Marburg virus disease. And, of course, there is now the ongoing West Africa Ebola outbreak, with record numbers already dead and spreading rapidly. So here are some questions for the audience. All these experts on television are telling us it's perfectly safe and we need not worry. And the lamest answer comes when you ask them, well, if it's safe and we don't have to worry, how did the medical doctor who you just brought to Atlanta contract Ebola if he knew how to avoid it? And their answer is always the same. Oh, an accidental needle prick. That's nonsense. That is total nonsense. We don't know how they got it. And that's the frightening part about it. And remember this. Viruses adapt, and they can adapt rapidly. They mutate very rapidly. And so while today the Ebola virus may only be transmissible through droplets, meaning, oh, you can't get it if the person with it just breathes next to you, that may be true today. But what about tomorrow? What if the virus, the Ebola virus, mutates in the near future, and then it will be easily transmissible through the air without transmission through bodily fluids? These are questions that any sane epidemiologist or medical doctor would ask before bringing patients in from a highly infected area. Now, let's follow the money on the Savage Nation. A recent USA Today article had this headline, quote, NIH to launch early Ebola vaccine trial in September, close quote. Well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is this. Until the current outbreak of Ebola, many in the industry said there was not a great need for an Ebola vaccine because the virus only caused 10 to 100 infections a year. But that has all changed. And now, according to an expert, an assistant dean at Texas A&M School of Public Health, quote, the current outbreak has somewhat changed our thinking. More people now think the world needs an Ebola vaccine. Why? Now listen why carefully. Because now there's going to be a call to vaccinate entire populations of nations or to vaccinate health workers in hospitals and clinics to protect them from getting and spreading the Ebola virus. So what's going on is that the FDA is making exceptions to its usually stringent rules for drug development in evaluating treatments for Ebola. And as a result, they're speeding forward with a stage one trial with a man-made antibody treatment. You should remember that bringing in an infected doctor and then another patient tomorrow from the area of contagion to Emory University in the U.S. makes no sense. These individuals could just as well have been treated in Africa. Did you hear what I just said to you? And I'll pause right there. And I'll also remind you of something else. Our military has portable isolation tents, portable isolation units, which they've developed at great cost to protect our troops from bioterrorism. In other words, if one of our enemies were to have tried to infect our troops with, let's say, an artillery shell with a canister of God knows what, virus or bacteria, the military has the capacity not only to protect the troops, but listen carefully, to treat the troops in the field. So if the military has the capacity to treat the troops in the field who might have been exposed to such a canister, you have to ask yourself, why did our geniuses think it necessary to bring the patients to Emory University in Atlanta? Again, I want to remind you, billions of dollars have been sent to Africa over the last 20 to 30 years. Remember Bill Clinton's great Africa initiative? Where'd that money go? There are some fabulous hospitals in Africa, and these patients should have been sent to the other hospitals, even outside the locus of infection. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
I can understand why people are scared of Ebola. It's deadly. It's a gruesome death. It's a terrible, merciless virus. But I hope and I'm confident that our fears are not going to overwhelm our compassion.
Well, he's hoping. That's very good that he hopes. That's real scientific. The politician, Tom Frieden, director of the Political Centers for Political Disease Control and Political Prevention, said that he's confident and hopes that he can stop Ebola. At least he's smart enough to say he didn't say, I know I can. But on the other hand, we're not trying to panic you, but I mean, let's use common sense. Why are they bringing them here? They could have treated them in Africa. So how does Ebola, the virus, spread? What is the original source of the Ebola virus? So there's some answers. Fruit bats are considered to be the natural host of the Ebola virus. It spreads through bodily fluids. vomit and diarrhea for sure. And as you know by now, doctors and nurses have been infected while caring for patients. And you also know by now that many victims have been infected while washing bodies to prepare for burial. And that, of course, is why it's spreading in Africa. Ebola, by the way, is one of the diseases that remains infectious after a person has died. And so experts are now urging people in Africa during funerals and burials to be very cautious. I don't know what good that's going to do. And here's a little something that you may not have read. A single study has suggested that a man's sperm can transmit the virus 2 months after he has recovered from an infection. Did you hear that? Most doctors will say that people are no longer infectious after they stop showing symptoms. But the incubation period, which is the time between when a person encounters another infected person and begins to show symptoms, is as long as 21 days. And right now, and I'm going to say they do not believe, doctors do not believe people can transmit the virus before they are showing symptoms themselves. Notice I said they do not believe, but they don't know for sure. And the lurid accounts of people bleeding to death from Ebola is probably the most horrific aspect of this infection. But Ebola doesn't always cause bleeding, and it's hardly ever profuse bleeding on the outside of the body. And as I said earlier, there are many viruses that can cause hemorrhagic symptoms, Lassa fever, dengue, and yellow fever, for instance. You may not know this, but yellow fever was once endemic in the United States of America. In fact, the entire south of, southeast of the United States, in the southeast of the United States, yellow fever was once endemic. And it was only wiped out when the mosquitoes were wiped out. And so it begins with flu-like symptoms, high fever, muscle aches, as well as vomiting and diarrhea. Only 50 to 60% of patients develop hemorrhagic complications, which include internal bleeding, as well as bleeding from the eyes and sometimes in spots in the skin. The question remains, why did this government purposely bring this virus into the U.S.? Huh? It's the savage nation. I'll be right back to talk more about Ebola.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is something that we take very seriously. As soon as there's an outbreak anywhere in the world of any disease that could have significant effects.
You mean like TB on
the
border?
CDC is in communication with the World Health Organization.
Oh, you mean like the scabies they're bringing in?
Agencies to try to make sure that we've got an appropriate response.
This the appropriate response is to do nothing.
Outbreak than we've seen in the past.
Right.
But keep in mind that it is still affecting parts of three countries.
Okay, let's pause right there. Our brilliant leader long ago created the Africa Summit, which is ongoing in Washington, D.C. People were screaming last week to cancel the Africa Summit in light of the deadly Ebola outbreak, when you consider the individuals they're bringing in have entourages. And nothing gets through to this man. Nothing. Nothing gets through to him. TB coming across the border, CDC was silent. Scabies coming across the border, political CDC has nothing to say. Cholera coming across the border, CDC is silent. Now the CDC comes out and says, you got nothing to worry about with Ebola. Okay, well, you know, I think there's a Latin phrase that you can buyer beware, caveat emptor. You know, what's the source of your information? Now, many of you are liberals, and you assume that because I am politically opposite to you, everything I say can be dismissed. Well, then I would say go hug an Ebola patient. I mean, if everything that I say is absurd and ludicrous because I'm a conservative, then what can I say? Go drink pesticides. Go drink some pesticides, because I don't know what I'm talking about with regard to the dangers of pesticides. Go do everything opposite of what I say, because that's how blind you will become to reality. I'm a realist. If you want to define me, it's not left or right. I'm really actually a realist is what I am. Here is a president who should have canceled the Africa Summit, number one. Number two, he never should have permitted the patients to come here for treatment. They could have been treated in Africa. by the way. There are some fabulous hospitals in Nigeria. Why did they bring them here? There's something more to this picture. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about Obama not canceling the Africa summit? How do you feel about Obama bringing infected patients to the United States of America to treat them? Do you think that the CDC director who said we should not panic and make sure that we're compassionate is right? Always about compassion. They're always selling everything under the guise of compassion. The children of Guatemala and El Salvador, we have to have compassion. What about the billion children on the planet who are hungry? Should we have compassion for them as well? Bring them all in? There's no sense anymore. It's all greed. It's all profit. It's all greed and all profit. I guarantee you, as I sit here, if anyone out there is in the news business and you track the money that's going to be made on this Ebola situation, you can probably trace the money to some very, very powerful politicians' families in this country. I can almost guarantee you they're going to make money on it one way or the other. They're like the old guy, the company that used to say they were in the pig business, pork, and they boasted that we sell everything but the squeal. Today, the Senate is consists of individuals who make money on virtually everything but the squeal of the American taxpayer. That's what they're doing. Every which way to Sunday, canals with the Chinese, you name it. They're in the business. Every syringe that is sold for Obamacare, I can guarantee you, filters up somehow to some of these corrupt politicians. We are now worse than some of the old banana republics in South America. That's how melted down we are. And who do you blame? Blame yourself. I don't know who to blame. Blame me. I don't care who you blame. If we still had a legitimate press, I don't think we'd be facing these problems. If we still had individuals who did investigative reporting without looking over their shoulder for fear that they may offend one of the powerful politicians whose wives is in the business or whose husband is in the business, then perhaps we'd still have a hope for the country. But as I reported to you on Friday, when I discovered that the holding facilities, the luxury hotels being rehabbed and such for the illegal immigrants coming in, is being run by the Geo company, and Geo is owned by some of the most powerful individuals on the left and the right, I said it's all hopeless now. Many of you got scared Friday. Many of you got sick Friday from that show. I know that. They said, Savage, you went to a new area on Friday when you disclosed that, and I got sick. I know people who wrote me that I know. They didn't like it. They wanted to believe that the Republicans were the salvation, that they were as clean as the driven snow, that nobody on the conservative side was profiting from the influx of illegal alien children from Guatemala and El Salvador. But I was sorry to tell you that that's not true. So you have to say that since this country is driven by greed, or as it was said in my day, larceny is in every man's heart. You know, I didn't even understand what that meant when I was a kid. Larceny is in every man has larceny in his heart. We have a larcenous government right now. There's no consideration that overrides larceny. There's no consideration that overrides the profit motive. None. There's not a consideration in this administration in particular that overrides the profit motive. Not one. And the more they talk about them doing it for humanitarian or compassionate reasons, the more you know someone's making a fortune off of it. So if you care to sound off on the Ebola situation or on the summit, you can call 855-407-2282. And over the next few days, I will write another article or two on Ebola, if I have anything to add to the subject. If I don't, I'm not going to write it just to write it. But you're all asking one main question, which I haven't touched on because I don't have the answer, which is this. What if someone is infected but not showing any active symptoms? They're on an airplane. They're not infected, but they're not showing any symptoms, and they just dry cough on the airplane, and you're sitting next to them. Well, what risk does that pose? I guess the CDC would say you should hug that neighbor to show your compassion. If you're a true Christian, you would hug that neighbor. You would share a handkerchief with that neighbor. That's what the CDC would recommend. If Ebola enters the United States and breaks out of Emory University, God forbid, what steps will the CDC and FEMA take to stop the spread of the virus? Oh, now that's an interesting question, isn't it? What if Ebola, God forbid, breaks out? And it just breaks out. They can't control it, like in a movie, a bad movie, like the movie that I played the opening of, Outbreak. Very good sound, right? Well, what would happen? Well, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Your government has the plan in mind. The United States has excellent infection control procedures and facilities. In fact, they can quarantine anyone in the United States who is not only exposed to Ebola or smallpox, yellow fever, SARS, TB, the plague, or Ebola. No, no, no. They can now, you don't know about this. Your president Thursday night while you were sleeping, preparing for your summer, pay attention, boys and girls on the left, because you have no idea how bad this gets. Your leader, Barack Obama, signed an executive order Thursday night that allows for the apprehension, detention, or conditional release of individuals with certain severe acute respiratory diseases, not including influenza. Let me repeat that. All you have to do is have a respiratory disease, with the exception of influenza, and your government can take you off the streets in a black car and arrest you. This executive order by this dictator, Obama, modified one signed in 2003 by George Bush, which allowed for the detention and quarantine of those with SARS. So Obama took that and added a rider to it with his devious crowd of gangsters, and they made it now sound as if they can arrest anybody who has a respiratory disease. But don't worry, they're going to treat you well. FEMA has the camps ready for you. And I have a map, by the way, of where the quarantine stations are. Maybe you can put in a request should you start coughing. And you can say, well, no, I don't want to go to the one in Houston. I don't want to go to the one in Dallas. Can you please send me to the FEMA camp in San Diego? I would like to be in San Diego. But let's say you don't want to go to San Diego. Let's say you don't like hot weather. You can probably put in a request and say, I would like to go to an area where it's cooler. Can you send me to the Seattle quarantine station? I'm sure they'll comply because the CDC is a very compassionate organization. And they'll probably give you a choice of where you can be locked up by FEMA. So make certain that you don't show anyone that you're coughing because you never know who may be watching. I know this sounds like a little kooky to you, but that's okay. Sometimes kookiness is truthfulness. And sometimes those who tell you not to worry are the real crazy people. Louisiana Colleen, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're the first caller of the day. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I am a retired RN of 35-plus years. 100 of those, at least, I worked, mostly ER and some ICU. Mistakes are made in the medical field all the time. People get tired. We get overworked. We work 12 to 16 hours a day. We get stressed out. And because of that, we get sloppy. We might have cuts or hangnails on our fingers. And look how easy it is to transmit this disease. It really is easier than most people think, and which you so well pointed out.
Yes, and so you agree with me that it made no sense medically, epidemiologically, to bring infected people to a nation where the infection doesn't exist.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Look at the expense that they incurred with this special air ambulance, all the quarantine measures that they took, the special personnel, et cetera, to go over there to get him and to bring him back. It cost millions of
Well, that was paid for by the Christian ministry, by the way, not by the U.S. government, incidentally. I think the Christian ministry paid for that. But that's sort of not the main point. The main point is, why didn't they treat this poor individual in Africa? Don't you think that? Look, Colleen, I happen to know there are fabulous hospitals in Africa. They're not all living in mud huts. Nigeria is a very wealthy nation. It's a very rich, oil-rich nation. Why didn't they treat him in such a unit in Nigeria?
This is what I understand that, and I agree. This is what scares the devil out of me, because
so wait, but I asked the question, so there's a logical answer, because there's something else involved other than treating that patient.
Yes.
There's something else involved, and if you want to follow that line of thought, it has to be the development of a vaccine, et cetera. And you know where that goes, Colleen, don't you?
Yes, it does. It goes to the big pharmaceutical companies. If you stop and consider how Jonas Salk came up with the polio vaccine and how he tested it on mentally ill, disabled, you know, people off the street and this kind of stuff. There was a comment that I heard earlier today that said, why didn't they give this, quote, experimental serum to some poor African soul rather than this doctor? And that's going to make people go crazy with the whole thing. But you're right. It's going to go to big pharmaceutical companies.
Well, first of all, we don't even know if the serum works. That was a lie. The minute he got here, he was better already. Did you see the CDC put out the lie immediately? The second he arrived, he was better. Did you like that fantasy?
Yeah, that
immediately, he's better already. The magic bullet was waiting for him when we know there is no magic bullet. That was a pure, unadulterated government medical complex lie.
Yes, thank you, Colleen.
Here's a breaking news story. One dead, five injured in suspected terror attack in Jerusalem. That's right. What happened was a tractor driver, a Palestinian, drove his tractor into a passenger bus in Jerusalem and threw the bus over. One man was killed and five others were injured in this terror attack, including the driver of the bus. Thank God Israeli police reacted quickly, shot and killed the driver of the tractor. They didn't take him for trial. They didn't ask him how he was feeling. They didn't ask him if he wanted a halal meal. They didn't ask him what was bothering him. They just shot him dead in the streets. That's what they did. So that's what's going on now. And the war is still raging in the Middle East. We can talk about that if you'd like to. But mainly we're focused today on the infection known as Ebola. And we're trying not to panic, of course, the population. But on the other hand, it would be foolish not to ask questions that anyone with a logical mind would ask, even if they went to the fifth grade. You don't have to have a PhD in epidemiology to have common sense. In fact, it's often people with common sense who know more than PhDs in any field. And common sense would indicate that if you have a common cold, the first thing you do is isolate the individual and try not to go near that person, even in your own house. So now, why does it make sense to bring an infected individual, even in a tent, even in a bio-contained unit, to America when they could have treated him in Nigeria? Why? Can anyone answer that question? WABC, New York City. Mike, you have a question. I don't know if I have the answer, but I'll take the question on air.
Yes, Dr. Savage, wouldn't it be possible for our enemies to be weaponizing Ebola and to have a couple of human incubators? It would be pretty handy to test cures or...
I don't say, well, you're not implying they're doing that here, but remember, of course they can weaponize viruses. Sure they can.
So by having some subjects here that we can test the cures and antidotes might be helpful.
Oh, you mean if this country wanted to weaponize Ebola, is that what you're saying?
No, if our enemies wanted to, I mean...
No, well, that's crazy. Now, the enemies are not in the hospital in Emory. I mean, you know, that's not the issue. I think that the Ebola response is totally irrational. It's not medically sound, and it's pure madness. They should have treated this person in Nigeria. Again, Nigeria is an oil-rich nation. Nigeria has some significant hospitals. And by the way, where did the millions or billions of dollars that Bill Clinton raised for Africa go? You mean they still don't have a ward in all of Africa where they could have treated these two people? Where'd the money go then? Why don't you ask some of those diplomats riding around in limousines in Manhattan today, some of those African warlords in suits and ties, making believe that they're here for their people. They care as much for their people as Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson do for theirs, in my unhumble opinion. I'll be right back.
This is, as the CDC has assessed, probably the most damaging and dangerous outbreak of Ebola that we have seen so far.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO. KSFO.
Ebola fears swirl around the U.S. Ebola fears swirl around the issue of the president continuing to bring in African leaders and entourages for the so-called Africa Summit in the midst of this disease. And we're talking about that today on The Savage Nation. And I want to remind you again that the first rule of epidemiology has been broken by this administration and the CDC. And if God forbid this epidemic should jump out of Emory University, they are the ones to blame. It made no sense to bring these patients to this country. They could have been treated in hospitals in Africa. This is insanity. They broke every rule, primarily being, the primary rule being, doctor, do no harm. First doctor, do no harm. I wish it applied to President Obama. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, and we're talking about the Ebola epidemic in Africa that has everyone chatting around the world saying, well, wait a minute, why are they bringing these patients to Atlanta to treat them? Why did they select, you want me to carry a little further? I mean, we did it in hour number one. If you were an African and you thought you were exposed to Ebola, but you were not yet showing symptoms, but you were exposed, let's say you went to a funeral for a relative, what would you do for treatment? Why, you jump on an airplane. You'd come to America. Isn't that what the Central Americans are doing? Yeah, they're getting first-class hotels to treat them, owned by left and right. So who's now going to make money off the Ebola epidemic? It's always about the money. And I therefore stand by my words, America's response is madness. It's an article I wrote. You want to read it. You can go to michaelsavage.com, the Drudge Report, America's Ebola Response is Madness. No reason to have brought the victims here, in my opinion. Are you worried about Ebola breaking out in the U.S.? I mean, or is this an irrational fear? You could say it's an irrational fear and it's just alarmism. Well, I would say the opposite of alarmism is to be a Pollyanna. And the opposite of alarmism is to say nothing can happen to you. And the opposite of overreacting is underreacting. Both are extreme responses. And what we need to do here is use logic. Find the middle ground in your reaction to what this Ebola outbreak means to you. That's right, you, the person in the street. Fear is raging around the country. WorldNet Daily has a poll. Are you worried about Ebola breaking out in the U.S.? First choice is no. The CDC has assured us there's very little chance of it spreading. The next thing is, no, Western medicine will keep it contained even if it comes here. No, the disease is not particularly easy to catch or spread. Yes, the current government and medical communities are greatly underestimating the danger. Yes, and allowing illegals to flood in is exacerbating the threat. And yes, once it's here, the entire nation is at dire risk. And you can vote on that. You can check whichever box you think applies to you. Or you can comment on the article I wrote. Or you can ask a question. Or bring up another fact. We know that it, at this time, does not spread through casual contact. We heard that. Well, fine. We know that there's no carrier stage known at this time, as there is with other diseases. Well, we know that. That's the good news. That's the good news. At least we think that's the good news. And secondly, I will remind you again that viruses adapt and they mutate. They mutate rapidly sometimes. And it is true that today the Ebola virus that we know may only be transmissible through droplets or, let us say, bodily fluids. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? The viruses are very smart. Very, very smart. They adapt quicker than we humans do. We haven't adapted to the communist takeover of America yet. We're still letting the infection coming out of the White House spread through the body politic with virtually no defense cells. Stopping this infection of Marxism, which is really Satanism in another form, that is spreading from the White House throughout every aspect of our country. Yes, Satanism. Marxism is Satanism. You should know that. The Chinese know that. They know that the Chinese communism is Satanism. That's why they hate Christians. And I don't trust a thing this government does. Do you? You trust everything this government does? Some things the government does, nothing the government does. How can you trust the CDC, who has said nothing about the tuberculosis coming across the border, the scabies coming across the border from Mexico, the cholera that is endemic in these countries? How come they've said nothing? Because they're a political arm of the Obama administration. That's why. All right, let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. Let's start in New York City on WABC. Dorothy, go ahead, please.
Hi. I've been a nurse for 41 years. I have two master's degrees in nursing. I was a nurse during the AIDS epidemic when we didn't even know what the AIDS epidemic was. I worked in the wards of Bellevue and the TB wards with no mask. I think they're Americans. I think they should be here. I'm more afraid of the guy getting on the plane spreading the Ebola than I am of getting these two Americans care well, that they
let's
deserve.
Wait a minute. All of a sudden, Americans have a nationality, but you mean we have no nationality when it comes to our southern border? Well, let me ask you this to see if I can do a litmus test on you, because I don't know where you're coming from. How do you feel about letting in all of these tens of thousands of so-called children from Central America, some of whom have tuberculosis? How do you feel about that?
I don't think that they should be coming over the border. I'm talking about these two Americans.
Oh, no, I just want to see what you think about that. I want to see where you're at politically.
Be coming here because we can't even give health care to the people, to our American people here, proper health care, and we're worried about people coming over the border? No.
So you make a rational argument, Dorothy, and I think many people would agree with you. I am not one of them, however, because, first of all, you know as a nurse that traveling unto itself, transporting a very ill patient, increases their risk of getting worse or dying. Isn't that a fact?
Yes, you're 100% correct.
All right. I happen to know that. A person with the flu traveling often gets sick enough to almost die from it. Travel is a stress unto itself. I would never move a patient across an ocean to treat them if they could be treated in Africa. Let's put aside the nationality of the two patients. Why were they not treated in a first-class hospital in Nigeria? They do exist, Dorothy. Nigeria is an oil-rich nation.
Awesome. I bet you Nigeria didn't want them.
Aha! Aha! Now you're coming to the reality that I am trying to talk about. Of course Nigeria didn't want them. Of course Nigeria has more sense than this nation does under this Marxist president of ours, who has no common sense whatsoever. The only thing he knows how to do is attack his political enemies. Nothing else. Thank you for the call. Here's a headline now from the Drudge Report. Usually has the latest news. I mean, we all go there for the breaking news. You ready for it? New York City hospital testing patient for Ebola. Recently returned from West African country where virus reported. That's all. That's what your newspaper should be reporting. Oh, I was born in that hospital. I can't believe it. Mount Sinai patient tested for Ebola virus. That's the hospital I was born. I think it was Mount Sinai, 17th Street and 2nd Avenue. I don't know what it is. Mount Sinai Hospital is performing tests on a patient who had recently traveled to a West African country where Ebola has been reported. The hospital says a male patient with high fever and gastrointestinal symptoms came to the hospital emergency room on Monday morning. So here we go again. The hemorrhagic fever we're talking about is raging out of control in Africa, sickened more than 1,300 people, killing more than 700, mostly in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone. Now, we do have to say again that at this time, Ebola is known to spread only through direct contact with bodily fluids such as blood or urine, or sperm, by the way. All right? They're not telling you that. They don't want you to even think about that one. It is not spread the way an airborne virus is spread, such as influenza or the common cold, because if it did, we'd all have it very soon. So that's the good news. However, if you're exposed to the virus in Africa, let's say, or even in Atlanta, the virus can take up to 21 days to show any symptoms. So that means infected travelers can enter the U.S. without even knowing they have it, such as those who've come in from Africa for Obama's latest conference, the Africa conference. No other nation on earth. There's not a sane nation on earth that would have brought in patients, number one, or brought in delegations from 50 countries for a summit on Africa right now. Never in the history of mankind have we had such stupidity running a country. But that's what we have now under the administration that you elected. It's not my regime. You elected him, not me. So the CDC says don't worry, because listen to this now. Are you ready for this one? Federal agents at U.S. airports are watching travelers from Africa for flu-like symptoms. Now, let's stop right there. Isn't that racial profiling? I mean, certainly national profiling, and I think that the ACLU should jump in on that and stop them from watching travelers from Africa. Why are they not watching Irish nuns coming in from Dublin? Why are they focusing only on people from Africa? I think that's racist. And I think that this is a case for Al Sharpton. I mean, he certainly knows. He's a genius in epidemiology. We don't know where he got his doctorate degree from. We know I love it. Reverend Al. No one's ever asked, where'd you get your divinity degree? Reverend Al. Reverend Al. Got it out of a Cracker Jack box, no doubt, when he was 4 years old. But Reverend Al and Reverend Jackson should definitely start to scream that this is racist. I mean, if you're watching travelers at airports from Africa, that's certainly racial profiling. And I think that Border Patrol agents at Washington's Dulles International and New York's JFK, who have been told to ask travelers about possible exposure to the virus, need to be given sensitivity training. Because if they're only talking to Africans, I'm sorry, that violates all the tenets of Eric Holder's Justice Department. And I believe that the Border Patrol agents should be given the diversity training. So the Border Patrol agents at these airports are being told to be on the lookout for anyone with a fever, headache, sore throat, diarrhea, vomiting, stomach pain, rash, or red eyes. That could be anyone coming off an airline today after eating the food. I know a guy came across the Atlantic, ate the shrimp, his eye almost fell out. He would have been one that would have pulled over. He came from London or Paris to JFK, and he ate the shrimp scampi on the airline. I can't name the airline. His eye blew up. They couldn't find any Benadryl. Now, the guy told me the story where he needed Benadryl. His eye was almost falling out of his head from the shrimp. And he asked for a Benadryl. The stewardess said, we can't open the medical cabinet without a doctor. She said, they ran up and down the aisles. Is there a doctor on the airplane? Doctor on the airplane? No, no doctor. She says, please. He says, I need the Benadryl. No, can't give it to you. Federal law says a doctor has to open the medicine cabinet. Finally, they found a horse doctor. It's a true story. They found the horse doctor came from the back of the airplane, says, I'm a veterinarian. So they popped open the thing. They gave him a Benadryl in his eye. The swelling went down. You're laughing. It's laughable. But this is the world we're living in. It's Keystone Cops. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
But because there are CBP officers who are carefully monitoring passengers who are arriving from these countries, we are in a position to ensure that public health is protected.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO. KSFO.
Now, I know that some of us have doubts about what we're about to do. We'd be less than human if we didn't. But the fate of the nation, perhaps the world, is in our hands. We cannot, we dare not refuse this burden. I'm confident that each of you will do his duty. God forgive us.
Well, welcome back to the Savage Nation. The CDC is not telling you the full truth about how easily Ebola can be spread. Let me repeat that. I'm giving you my opinion. It's an educated opinion. It's as valid as any opinion out there. And I'll tell you how I came to that. If medical researchers, such as the poor man who was being treated in Atlanta, could become infected while using every precaution that was known to science, what makes you think that the fools at the CDC can contain it in this country? They've opened the borders. The borders are broken open because of Obama's idiotic policies. Who they want to turn the nation into a Democrat socialist nation as quickly as possible. They're bringing in the hordes from nations where cholera is endemic, tuberculosis is present, and they don't say a word about it. And now they're bringing in infected people to treat them here. Interesting. Why? Why didn't they treat them in Africa? Well, I don't know. Here? And answer the question. Nigeria is an oil-rich nation. Bill Clinton raised a lot of money for the African continent. Remember that? Where'd that money go? Ask one of the African diplomats in Manhattan today where the money went. You could probably see it on his ring, on his fingers. That's where the money went. Take a look at his shoes, his rings. Take a look at the limo, the bodyguards. Take a look at the dress she's wearing, the pearls she's wearing. That's where the money went. WABC in New York City, Christine, this is a very serious matter. What do you have to say about the Ebola epidemic?
Hi, Dr. Savage. You're talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm a registered nurse. I completed master's level medical anthropology and epidemiology.
Oh,
and
good for you.
A little bit about Ebola and tropical disease as a result of that. And I would say you're 100% correct. But there's more that that I'd like to add. And that is that there was a gentleman from Africa who took a flight out of one of these infected countries. And two people who helped him, he collapsed in an airport, and two people that helped him into a wheelchair came down with Ebola. This is in Africa. That's easily this can be spread. Mm. Number two, we are closing hospitals in New York City, namely St. Vincent's and Long Island College Hospital, the one that de Blasio campaigned on keeping open. They've been converted into emergency rooms. They call them freestanding emergency rooms. Anything you want to sell to the American people, stick the word free in it, and they'll believe it, right?
So we'll be coming. Look, de Blasio and Obama have one blueprint, which is a third world nation. And they're not the architects of it. They're simply the carpenters.
I'm not arguing with you, but I have more to say about this. There is a reason. You want to know why they're bringing it in. This isn't either Marxism or socialism or anything. It's neoliberal capitalism. And the plan is they're going to have a totalitarian state like communist China. But it's basically a capitalist system based on absolute greed to the benefit of the CEOs of multinationals and corrupt politicians. They want the infection in the United States. They want to wipe out the population. I went through AIDS working as a nurse. I went through multiple drug-resistant tuberculosis. The pharmaceutical companies are going to make a field day on the money. I refer you to an article in the New York Times called Troops on Drugs. It was written by Dr. Friedman, and he spoke about how they spent the majority of the money on the Iraq War was spent on drugs.
Oh, you mean medicating our troops, putting them on antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications? Yes, they've drugged our military. In addition to wussifying the military, they've drugged our military, and now they're downsizing the military. There should be a war crimes trial for Leon Panetta and Hegel the Bagel. If ever, God willing, we ever save this country. If ever.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We had problems in our labs. We had lapses. Fortunately, we caught them and reported them before anyone was harmed and before there was anything released out of the laboratory. But it shows how important it is to have meticulous attention to detail. Ebola is a formidable enemy. And if you make a single lapse, it's not that it's so infectious, but the results are so tragic because it can be fatal.
Oh, and that's why you're bringing it into America, doctor. I see. That makes sense. That's because your boss, Obama, told you it's okay to do so? This is insanity, and I stick by my article's title, which is Madness. Madness, madness rules this government. By the way, Ebola is such a dangerous virus and so contagious and so virulent that it has been classified as a Category A biological weapon. Why are they bringing it here? So let me do this. Now, we've avoided conspiracy theories up until the last caller, because she was a highly educated nurse who knows more about it than most of us, including myself. And although I'm trained in epidemiology, she has practical experience, which I don't have. And she said it's a neoliberal capitalist plot to spread the infection around because Big Pharma will benefit. I've seen this on the blogs, and I'll read some of them. I'll read one now. If you could introduce Ebola into an advanced country like the U.S., think of the money Big Pharma could make working on a miracle cure that never quite works but costs a lot and is controlled by Obamacare. Did you hear that? Controlled by Obamacare. So now here's another little question for all of you geniuses out there. How can a vaccine be produced for a virus that mutates? The answer is they can't. That's why there's no vaccine for the common cold or AIDS or chickenpox. Because you can't make a vaccine for those viral illnesses because the virus is so clever it keeps mutating or adapting. As will and as does the this virus. I told you that. The Ebola virus is another one. You got to understand, viruses are very smart. And you don't know what drives them. How can they adapt so quickly? How can they mutate so rapidly? But they do. And although today they may not be transmissible other than through droplets, who knows what tomorrow may bring? That's why it makes no sense to bring diseased people into the United States of America. And I stand by my observation. There's no reason to have done this other than crazy reason or greedy reasons of greed. Larceny is in the hearts of someone who is directing this. You know, the president will not visit the border with Mexico. I mean, he has such compassion for the children from Guatemala and El Salvador, yet he would not go down there. Why? Well, he's smart enough to know that he can get tuberculosis, God forbid, scabies or cholera going into one of these centers down there, so he didn't go to the border. He was told by Secret Service and the CDC, don't be nuts, don't go near there, right? So if they know that, why are they bringing in infected individuals? I keep repeating the same question over and over again. Because this is a big show. The audience is large. It's on many great stations in America. You're not the only one listening to it. It's on our 230 radio stations, including the biggest in the country, during drive time on the East Coast. So you have to understand, I'm doing my best to ask questions for which there are answers. Don't assume there are no answers. But the questions themselves create a certain questionable response in individuals called an uneasiness. And in America, uneasiness could be considered dangerous. To make you uneasy could be considered a social crime under Eric Holder. I'm not so sure if I'm not a public enemy number one now for creating any questions in your mind. Because in order to be a good American, you must be a drugged American. In order to be a happy American, you must be a medicated American. In order to be a loyal American, you must have no anxiety that can't be cured with Xanax or a Valium or, let us say, an antidepressant. And anyone who asks too many questions is certainly an enemy of the state. Because medication is now God. Meds are now king. People don't pray to God anymore. They pray to Pfizer. Pfizer gives them the manhood they lost. Pfizer gives them the hair they lost. Smith, Klein, and French give them the state of calm that they once had as a child. And so that has now replaced the Bible and the church, and God is Big Pharma. So why assume, therefore, that there's no big pharmaceutical connection to Ebola? I mean, I'm laughing because I have to. I sometimes laugh at my own statements because they're so brilliant and they're so funny at the same time. Now, let's go into a little bit more on why Obama's shipping Ebola into America. I think you have to look back to Europe in the Black Plague or yellow fever in the United States of America or malaria in the southeast of the United States. And, you know, there was a time in ancient history when diseased bodies were catapulted over the walls of enemy cities. For example, in 1345, if I remember, the Mongols seized Crimea. And in order to conquer Crimea, then known as Kaffa, the Mongols shot the bodies with catapults over the city walls. And they were eventually successful in spreading the plague to the people in Kaffa. And that's how they conquered Crimea. They spread the disease around. See? So that's what I'm trying to do this for you. You know, you can get mad at me if you want. But frankly, I'm doing God's service here. And I can't control what's going on. All I can do is observe it and comment on it. I have no other. We have idiots running everything. You know the old phrase, the inmates are running the asylum? Well, these are very dangerous inmates. These are not just inmates. These are very clever and very, very demonic inmates running the asylum. Why are they bringing the people here? Why are they not treating them there? Tell me why. And if it's not easy to transmit, then why the biohazard suits, masks, and respirators? No answer. See? No answer. It's, oh, it can't be spread easily. No, no, no. That's why they're wearing spacesuits on the airplane. and putting them in a tent. You hear? It's categorized as a Category A biological weapon. So this is really weird. The same CDC that is now oh so clean and there for the American people, nice white shirt, nice tie, nice haircut, got his nails done over the weekend. They haven't commented on the health of the illegals coming over the border. They haven't commented on the discarded anthrax vials in a cardboard box that were found at the CDC. They haven't commented on the fact that a lethal version of bird flu was sent by someone within the CDC to another agency. Haven't commented on any of this. But the CDC owns a patent on the Ebola virus. Did you know that? You didn't know that. So what does Dianne Feinstein have to say about this? How about Dianne Feinstein? Does she have a finger in the pie somewhere? I mean, you can't spread this with shopping carts. So I don't know. She may have something to say. Is she the chairman of some national security committee? Or how about Nancy Pelosi? She may have something to say about this. She could run across the aisle after her meds run down and punch someone in the face. She ran across the aisle. Did you see the video of her? Something's going wrong there, boy. I mean, I didn't know Botox had this effect on people, but did you see the video running around the internet? Nancy Pelosi ran across the aisle to a Republican and attacked him, pointing a finger at him, screaming, "You're insignificant, you're nothing. You're insignificant, you're nothing, and you're a liar." That's what's going on in your Congress. They're out of control. Why? Well, Lord Acton said power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. We have absolute power, totally corrupted in the United States of America, but they're so insane. They are so insane that they don't even think that they could become infected. But let me remind you something, ladies and gentlemen, on the insane left. It's something I wrote 35 years ago in my book, it wasn't 35. I remember I wrote the book Maximum Immunity. I guess I should remind you of that. Before I was on radio, I was a popular science writer, and I wrote many books that were very well received. And one of them was called Maximum Immunity. I think it was published in 1983 by Houghton Mifflin. I was very proud of the book. It was at the beginning of the AIDS epidemic, and I tried to find as much as I could out about the immune system, so I popularized a book on the immune system called Maximum Immunity. It was translated into Dutch, Danish. It was ripped off by the French. They robbed the title and the whole book. Well, that's French. If you say it was French, you don't even have to say that. They stole it. They didn't even steal a copyright. They just copied the whole book and published it. I mean, that's French. Liberté, equality, fraternité. I mean, isn't that socialism? Just steal the book. Steal his book. I guess France was run by Abby Hoffman at the time. Dutch, Danish, Swedish, French. A few other. Portuguese. I have a Portuguese edition of Maximum Immunity. So you have to understand that I really didn't start in this business of discussing illness and disease yesterday. I didn't brush up by reading a few magazine articles. It doesn't make me a virologist, don't get me wrong. Very specialized field, very difficult field. But I have the knowledge to read the literature, both the popular literature and the scientific literature. And as I've said to you earlier, I was very lucky because one of my best friends was an expert in hemorrhagic fevers going back. This is going back 35 years. Doesn't mean I'm an expert in hemorrhagic fevers, but I did spend many a night talking about hemorrhagic fevers in Africa in the 1960s and early 70s with my dear friend Dr. D. Wonderful man and brilliant and funny, and he wrote some popular books, and he knew more about it than anybody on earth, but he knew how to deliver it in a funny manner, or let's say a palatable manner. He didn't lecture you. He just talked with you about it. And I picked up a lot of knowledge about dengue because he was worried that I might contract dengue in some of my travels in the Melanesian island, in the islands of Melanesia, which, of course, I never did. So here I am, nevertheless, and here we are. Here we are. We're living in a nation run by very dangerous inmates in the asylum. There is no rational reason to have brought this man back to America. He could have been treated in Africa, number one. But number two, and I will repeat what I said in the last segment, you don't transport a very ill person unless you absolutely have to, because the transportation, the travel alone is a stress that will weaken that patient. That's well known. I've known people who've traveled to China, let's say, and gotten sick. They almost died in traveling. Travel, you know, how many of you have traveled and gotten sick just traveling when you were healthy? You could raise your hand. Many of you have. Because traveling unto itself is a great stress. We all know that. Do I have to explain why? Forget the airport and the exposure to people. Forget the strange foods you're eating. How about the exposure to the ultraviolet and other radiation in the airplane? That weakens your immune system. You're not supposed to mention it, but it does. So traveling, even flying normally, has a slight effect upon your health that's not good. And so if you're marginally sick, it's a good idea not to travel until you're healthy. Let's start with that. Let's talk about you, your selfish little narcissistic self. If you're marginally sick, it's a good idea not to travel because you'll only weaken your immune system. But don't think about the person next to you in the seat next to you. I traveled a few years ago, and a guy had, I don't know what he was. He was coughing, spitting, vomiting. I was shocked that they let him travel on that airplane. I almost never traveled again on a commercial airplane after that. And that's because the insanity of this country is such that they would permit an individual like that to fly around and to do those things on an airplane. And when I called the stewardess over, she said, we can't say anything about it because it would be discriminatory. Okay, great. So you never think about the person next to you. No, you don't. But now let's go down to level. Let's go to what's going on now, which we've been talking about. Ebola 101. Ebola 101. If you just tuned into the Savage Nation, I wrote an article. And the fact of the matter is, I didn't editorialize in some way. I just said the madness of Ebola is only matched by the madness of America. And I asked, let's start with common sense. Let's forget education levels. Let's forget MD, PhD. Let's forget all of that. If you got a cold and you live in a family and you're the father and you have children, what would you do? Well, you would try to avoid contact with your children. You wouldn't sneeze on them, would you? You would make certain that if you did sneeze, you had a handkerchief. And you'd be sure the droplets from your cough didn't spread anywhere in the house. That's common sense, right? And you would sort of isolate yourself. You would avoid going near your infant baby or your children, wouldn't you? That's what you do with a viral illness, a common cold. Well, Ebola is a viral illness. And common sense would dictate that you isolate and avoid contact with patients. Because in this case, the disease is often fatal. And yet the morons who are running America, oh, God, it breaks my heart. The morons who are committing crimes against this country are bringing infected patients into America, telling us to put aside our panic and make certain that we're compassionate. The very same insanity that we've heard about the so-called children with beards and tattoos coming in from El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Guatemala. I'll be right back.
It is very real. I mean, it's a highly contagious disease.
Guaranteed.
And all it requires is some infractions in procedures, and all of a sudden, you've got more spread. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Not bad enough that Obama is flooding America with illegal aliens and shipping them all over the country. Many of them are sick. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to believe it. You say it's right-wing crazy talk. You're wrong. One of our Border Patrol agents has contracted tuberculosis, but it's not you, so you don't care. Scabies is now jumping from these children that are being sent across America by Obama. Now, why did they bring patients with Ebola here? You're buying hook, line, and sinker the government lie? A, they could have treated them in Africa. There are fine hospitals in Africa. And B, if you want to bring them back to America for better treatment, then why not ship them to Plum Island? Look up Plum Island. There was once a novel written about Plum Island. Plum Island, right off the coast of... I guess it's too close to Martha's Vineyard. I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking clearly. But they could have brought them to an isolated island outpost and in short order built a hospital. Because remember, the hospital facility that they need is not that difficult to build. It's an isolation unit. We have portable isolation units for our military. The military has probably hundreds of thousands of portable isolation units that they've stockpiled over the years for fear of biohazard, bioterror, weaponized artillery shells and whatnot. So you have to be a little more rational than you are in buying hook, line, and sinker what Obama and the CDC are telling you. I'm not saying rush to the other side, but for God's sakes, open your mind. What's driving this Ebola thinking, if you want to call it that, is greed. 100% greed and nothing but greed. There's larceny in the hearts of everybody in this government. Larceny is driving this decision-making, not compassion. There's a fortune to be made on a new vaccine. But how fast does a virus mutate? That's why the vaccine will probably be impossible to develop. You think that the flu vaccine works? The flu vaccine doesn't work in most cases, by the way. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Sports, shoes, life. Welcome to the Savage Nation. When you think about it, my whole show is devoted to life, the life of America, the health of America, the life of people, the health of people. And when I see that this insane government of ours is bringing in infected individuals with a killer virus such as Ebola to the United States to treat them, I have to ask, is this madness? Is it foolishness? Or is it something else? Welcome to hour number three of the Savage Nation. And I wrote the article yesterday while you were playing tennis or volleyball playing, which you should do. It's good for your health. But I'm at that stage of my life where I work 7 days a week. I don't mean I sit in front of a sewing machine. I'm not my grandfather. But I work all the time. I sleep and I work. I eat and I work. I walk and I work. I bicycle and I work. I'm not looking for a reward or a medal. I get it enough coming on the radio. It's an honor for me to be here speaking with you about Ebola today because it's something that is so important for us to discuss. And maybe this will wake people up to the insanity and the greed in our government, or the inherent greed and insanity connected between the government and the certain, let us say, corporations. And I'm not one of these automatic knee-jerk corporate bashers. Don't get me wrong. Corporations are great. Many of them are wonderful. And we all enjoy their products and need them. But when you look at the medical establishment and you look at the pharmaceutical establishment and you look at the government establishment, you have to assume that there's collusion between them. You don't have to look any further than Obamacare to understand what I'm saying. So now you have a killer illness, disease rather, in Africa, and they bring the people, two of them, in for treatment here, when, of course, they could have been treated there. I keep repeating, there are isolation units in Africa. There are hospitals in Africa. Why did they bring them home? Why? Now you say, oh, well, it's compassionate to treat them here. Okay, that's one argument. I don't buy it. Maybe you buy it. I don't. There's always another thing because the risk is too great. Surrounding this, even the Pollyannas who were saying there's a very low risk tell you there is some risk. Okay, even the Pollyannas in the media who were saying there's no risk say, well, there's some risk. You know, many years ago, I meant to say this for the last 2 hours. It left my mind. It just came back. I'll never forget this as long as I live. 30 years ago, there was a scandal in France of infected blood transfusions. People were dying from infected blood transfusions that had been transferring infected organisms. They arrested the head of their national health division. She took full responsibility for it in France. Now, if we lived in a sane nation, the head of the CDC would say, I'm 100% sure and 99% sure there's no risk, but I'll tell you what, if even one person should get Ebola because of this, I take full responsibility and I'll turn myself into the nearest federal marshal. But he didn't say that. He's got nothing to lose. He's not going to lose his fat job and his perks. What does he care? Does Obama care about the diseases he's bringing in across the border that he broke with Mexico? No. That's why he won't even go down there. In fact, he's transporting them all over America, not only to vote Democrat, socialist for the next 100 years, but, of course, for other reasons that you can pretty much put two and two together. A lawless, rogue president out of control. a lawless, rogue administration that is now filled with insane people. You'd say to yourself, don't they have children? Don't they have grandchildren? Some of them must be married with children. I would assume that in this satanic administration, some have children, and they would care. Some of them would care about their children. I mean, even Satanists have children that they love, don't they? So don't they say, wait a minute, at a certain point, I got to stop my madness, my political madness, and I've got to think about the safety of my own children? But no, apparently not. I know in San Francisco, some of them who are crazy, who are off their meds running across aisles, have grandchildren, but it doesn't enter their mind that some of the infections they're bringing in could, God forbid, affect their own family. It doesn't enter their mind. They are so blind with power and so blind with greed. All they see is the dollar sign, and they think that they're untouchable, and there is no Elliot Ness. They own the Elliot Ness. They created the Elliot Ness. They put Elliot Ness in office. They think they're above the law, and they probably are. In New York State, interestingly enough, there's a scandal that's emerging because what they have in New York State, we don't have here in San Francisco. I have to make it very personal. There's a U.S. attorney in New York City that's going after Governor Cuomo. Big article today. Cuomo's key aide to meet with feds and commission probe. Larry Schwartz. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's highest-ranking aide will meet with federal prosecutors this month who are investigating whether the governor's administration interfered with the anti-corruption Moreland Commission. So I'm not going to read you the whole story. And I said, why do we not have a U.S. attorney in California who will go after the corruption in the state of California? Why? Where is the U.S. attorney now that we need him in San Francisco, which, by the way, I repeat, is the most corrupt city in the United States of America? Without any question, the most corrupt. If you look into the contracts, if you look into the awards, if you look into the, well, I don't have to spell it out for you. But you'd say, well, even some of them have children and grandchildren. Are they not worried about Ebola? Are they that stupid? What do they say to each other? I've got to ask you, what do you think Feinstein or the others say to each other? Do you think they know more than I do about Ebola? Who do they call up? Oh, well, we know the top doctors. Let me call someone at UC. Get Dr. Schmendrick on the line. So Dr. Schmendrick, maybe he's a fine man. Maybe Dr. Schmendrick's a fine virologist. But maybe Dr. Schmendrick doesn't know any more about Ebola than what you just learned on the Savage Nation. Maybe Dr. Schmendrick is only repeating what Dr. Schmendrick has been told to say. Because, after all, his money comes from the University of California, and they're all politicians. Every high academician is fundamentally a politician. I remember that when I went through graduate school. My professor was a fine doctor, but he was a politician. He used to fly to Washington to make sure his grants were renewed. That's the way the business works. The academic businessman, at the end of the day, is a politician. And the more effective they are as a politician, the more money they get. So you can't rely upon everything they say as the gospel. Sometimes you have to use common sense and do your own research. So who does Dianne Feinstein, for example, call up? So, she reads about Ebola. She says Obama's bringing them into Atlanta. She says, wait a minute, does that make sense? Well, let's call up Dr. Schmendrick at UC. Let's have him over for lunch, honey. So Dr. Schmendrick comes over, and what does he know? He'll repeat what the Dr. Schmuck said at the CDC, that within a certain high degree of probability, we can control it, and there's nothing to worry. And I assure you that within the 99%, well, what if I'm in the 1 percentile? That's the question, and it didn't have to happen at all. They could have treated him in Africa. Common sense would say, boys and girls, common sense would say you treat him in Africa. You don't bring him to a nation that doesn't have the disease unless you're crazy or you're driven by greed or you're stupid. No other answer to that. So, I mean, I've made my point, and again, I direct you to my Ebola article entitled The Madness of Ebola. And you can link it from Savage, America's Response is Madness. It's linked up on the Drudge Report, which is the number one news site. And WND published it last night. I wrote it all day yesterday. I did as much quick research as I could. I'm not an expert on virology. I'm not an expert on hemorrhagic fevers. But with my background, I was able to do a quick study, and I don't think I made any mistakes. So that's simple. Who could have done a faster article that's as good as this in the world? Nobody. If you would ask an academician to write an article in one day to bring the public up to speed on Ebola, they couldn't have done what I did in one day. Nobody could have done it as well as I did it. Now, let's go back to the father of epidemiology, Dr. John Snow. I'm not going to bore you with the details, but he was a very ordinary man, 1813. He's the father of epidemiology. And he started, in his research, meaning he was just looking around in 1831, they didn't even have microscopes then, so far as I, well, they may have had, you know, Leeuwenhoek was in the 1600s. But they didn't know about the germ theory of disease at that point. And there were sick patients that were getting, that were dying. And it was cholera. And they didn't know what it was. They didn't know what caused cholera. Queasiness, stomach ache, vomiting, diarrhea. So profuse that it caused victims to die of dehydration. Very similar to the cholera that is endemic in Mexico, that is being brought across the border by the bucket load. I mean, remember years ago, there used to be jokes about turista. You went to Mexico, you didn't drink the water because the water supplies were polluted with cholera. Well, they still are. That doesn't stop Obama from flooding America with the children who have cholera, tuberculosis, and other diseases. In fact, if you mention it, they smear you immediately as being a racist. But, of course, as I've said many times, in fact, in my great book, Maximum Immunity, written in 1983, published in seven languages, microbes do not discriminate. Write that down. One of my better lines. Microbes do not discriminate. They don't know if you're Nancy Pelosi or Michael Savage. A microbe doesn't know if you're gay or straight. A microbe doesn't know if you're black or white. A microbe doesn't know what your country of origin is. A microbe does not discriminate, you see? In that sense, they're the ultimate fairness. It's the fairness doctrine. A microbe is the fairness doctrine that the government has been seeking all of these years. It's the ultimate fairness doctrine. It can jump continents. It can jump races. It can jump sexual orientation. Microbes do not discriminate. I wrote that back in 1983. So what am I trying to get at? I'm trying to get at common sense. Does it exist anymore? I don't know. What do you need an expert to tell you what you know? Your instincts are correct, by the way. Your instincts are correct. You should be worried. Oh, very worried. Yes. I didn't say panic. I didn't say panic in the streets. I didn't say go into your bunker. I didn't say that. But you should be very concerned because your government is not looking out for you. They're looking out for some other interests here. That's one man's opinion. And I invite you to read my article again. And if you criticize it, good luck to you. It's one man's. Write your own article if you don't like it. Go publish your own article, some article on the subject. Maybe I can learn something from you. But until I can learn something from you, maybe you can learn something from me, because at this point we're all in it together. I want to point out something else that you don't know about. This came out August 1st. Obama executive order allows detention of Americans with respiratory diseases and the quarantine. The only exception is influenza. Obama took a 2003 executive order that had been written by George Bush that allowed for the detention and quarantine of those with SARS, and he sneakily, which he does all the time, Obama's the most sneaky American in American history in this power position, like the sneak in the night that he is, he signed a new executive order that allows for the apprehension, detention of individuals with certain severe acute respiratory diseases, not including influenza. That's what your president did while you slept. The same president who signed an NDAA can now have you arrested and taken off the street by the FBI or the Secret Service, or God knows what other black-coated operation in this country, and say he had a respiratory disease. This is what this man does every chance he gets and every chance he doesn't get. And I tell you right now, we're in such a state that, again, I have to repeat it. It's not available to you. I'm not selling anything, but it's a very important book. It'll be out in October. It's entitled Stop the Coming Civil War. And each day it becomes increasingly apparent to me that the book is prescient. It'll be out in October. I realize it was the title was stolen by someone in the media already. In fact, Glenn Beck, the teddy bear man, apparently said over the weekend, someone must have given the script because I've been talking about it for 6 months. A man who has no ideas, of course, has big ears. What big ears you have, Glenn. I think you said that we are in a civil war, Glenn, didn't you? My, what big ears you have, old teddy bear Glenn. You went down to the border and that backfired on you, old Glenn. And now you're saying we're in a civil war. My, what would you borrow tomorrow? Anyway, dozens from Ebola struck countries caught sneaking into the USA is the headline on the Drudge Report. I'll be right back. Have a nice break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Okay, so here's a couple of questions for you cynics out there, and I respect cynicism. I'm a cynic myself. I'm a skeptic more than a cynic. But if the disease is so difficult to transmit or to acquire, why has another doctor in Nigeria now been infected with the Ebola virus? I mean, the doctors are smart. They know how to protect themselves, yet here's another one got it. Just now a story came out that a doctor in Lagos had contracted Ebola. Confirmation that a fourth doctor had been infected comes as fear and anger about the dead being left unburied in Liberia's capital, Monrovia, brought protesters into the streets. While Sierra Leone's president said Monday the epidemic threatened the very essence of the nation. And here's something very worrisome. This new case of the doctor, he's one of the doctors who attended to the Liberian Ebola patient who died. Did you hear this? And yet, your dumb president is holding an Africa summit this week. Common sense would say, let's put off the Africa conference. Going to bring in all these people. We don't know if any of them are carriers. Oh, no. Life goes on. I asked Dr. Schmendrick over at the CDC. I don't even think he asked the CDC. There's so much money involved that someone's pushing this Africa summit. It's got to do with money and nothing but money. Greed runs the entire world. But the level of larcenous greed in the United States of America has never been seen that I can, that I've read historically, the level of larcenous greed that is dictating almost every decision made by this president and this administration is something I've never seen in history, ever. Never. It's at a level, it's metastasized into a level of madness. As witness them holding an Africa conference during an Ebola outbreak. It makes no sense. Common sense would say you put it off. Just to be precautious, for precaution, right? Nope. So now we have a new case, another doctor who attended to the Liberian Ebola patient and died. Dr. Frieden, you're an expert from the CDC. If it's so hard to transfer, how did a doctor get it? Oh, well, it must have been a needle prick. Oh, another, again, a needle. The same answer. Always the answer, needle prick. The doctor, he would get a needle prick? I don't think so. I really don't think so. So this virus should not have been permitted to cross the Atlantic Ocean. No. No, it should not have been brought across the Atlantic Ocean. And those who made this decision, should this illness, God forbid, break out in this country, should be held responsible. They should be tried for homicide. Not only for deciding to bring them here, but for lying about the relative risk of bringing them here. And I stand by those words. First rule of medicine, doctor, do no harm. You forgot that from your medical school days? Well, go reread textbook 101. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
I can understand why people are scared of Ebola. It's deadly. It's a gruesome death. It's a terrible, merciless virus. But I hope and I'm confident that our fears are not going to overwhelm our compassion.
Well, he's hoping. That's very good that he hopes. That's real scientific. The politician, Tom Frieden, director of the Political Centers for Political Disease Control and Political Prevention, said that he is confident and hopes that he can stop Ebola. At least he's smart enough to say he didn't say, I know I can't. But on the other hand, we're not trying to panic you, but I mean, let's use common sense. Why are they bringing them here? They could have treated them in Africa. So how does Ebola, the virus, spread? What is the original source of the Ebola virus? So there's some answers. Fruit bats. Fruit bats are considered to be the natural host of the Ebola virus. It spreads through bodily fluids, vomit and diarrhea for sure. And as you know by now, doctors and nurses have been infected while caring for patients. And you also know by now that many victims have been infected while washing bodies to prepare for burial. And that, of course, is why it's spreading in Africa. Ebola, by the way, is one of the diseases that remains infectious after a person has died. And so experts are now urging people in Africa during funerals and burials to be very cautious. I don't know what good that's going to do. And here's a little something that you may not have read. A single study has suggested that a man's sperm can transmit the virus 2 months after he has recovered from an infection. Did you hear that? Most doctors will say that people are no longer infectious after they stop showing symptoms. But the incubation period, which is the time between when a person encounters another infected person and begins to show symptoms, is as long as 21 days. And right now, and I'm going to say they do not believe, doctors do not believe, people can transmit the virus before they are showing symptoms themselves. Notice I said they do not believe, but they don't know for sure. And the lurid accounts of people bleeding to death from Ebola is probably the most horrific aspect of this infection. But Ebola doesn't always cause bleeding, and it's hardly ever profuse bleeding on the outside of the body. Back in the 50s, when I was a kid, there was a movie called Panic in the Streets. Again, a similar theme. An infected individual is running wild in the streets, and they're trying to find them. And now we have a panic spreading in America over the Ebola epidemic that is raging out of control, by the way, in several countries in Africa. And people are not panicking quite yet, but they're asking questions that are logical. The first rule of epidemiology is identify the source of the epidemic and then isolate the area. The last thing on earth you want to do is bring the source to a country that does not have the disease. This is madness. It is political stupidity on the part of Obama and this whole government. What we need to do is use logic and find the middle ground in our reaction to this Ebola outbreak in Africa and the stupidity of this government bringing diseased individuals into a nation where the Ebola virus does not exist in human beings. It is madness, pure madness. Remember, the first rule of medicine is doctor, do no harm. It's a shame that our Centers for Disease Control has become nothing but an arm of the government, where there is virtually no independence in thought, as there is no longer any independence of thought in the media. It's the government science medicine complex. I don't look to the CDC for answers on anything anymore. I haven't for over 30 years. They're all politicians. It doesn't mean there aren't wonderful scientists working inside the NIH and the CDC. There are. But the leadership is political. As such, I don't trust a word they say. I'm not a virologist. I'm not an expert in the field of virology. But I probably know as much, if not more, than anybody in the media on epidemiology, because that's where I earned my that's what I earned my doctorate in from the University of California at Berkeley in 1978. But more importantly than that is that I was very lucky. When I first started my graduate work in 1968, I had a wonderful friend named Dr. Robert Desiewicz, who died in 2008. And he was one of the greats in hemorrhagic fevers and malaria. He knew a lot about Marburg before I even knew what it was. We spent a lot of time talking about dengue fever because I was going in and out of the areas where dengue was endemic in the South Pacific to do my research. And he was cautioning me on mosquito-borne illnesses and whatnot. And many a nights was spent over many beers and various foods discussing hemorrhagic fevers and whatnot. So I'm not him, but I learned a lot from him going back a long time. And I would say that that's an important thing to talk. When you get the government media complex telling you don't worry whatsoever, that's nonsense. Because you can't rule out the fact that it won't spread. I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying it's going to be an epidemic in America. But for like NBC Science, oh, don't worry about it. It's fine. These are the same people who are ignoring the tuberculosis that's coming in from Mexico with the hordes that Obama's bringing in. These are the same government liars in the media telling us not to worry about anybody coming in from Central America when, in fact, cholera is endemic in Mexico and Central America. And they're bringing in cholera. And our Border Patrol agents are reporting that they're getting cholera and tuberculosis. So I'm supposed to believe the NBC doctor? I'm supposed to believe the CDC doctors who are looking the other way when we have TB and cholera coming in over the border? No, I'm not going to look the other way. The madness of Ebola is only matched by the madness of America. Well, let's start with common sense. If a member of your family has the viral illness known as the common cold, what do you normally do? Well, you try to avoid contact with that person. Certainly you want to avoid them sneezing on you or the droplets from their cough spreading anywhere in the house. Isn't that what you would do? And then what do? Well, you both isolate and avoid an infected patient, even if they have the common cold. Well, Ebola is a viral illness. Common sense would dictate that you isolate and avoid contact with patients, because in this case, unlike the common cold, as you know, the disease can be fatal. And yet the morons who are running America and the CDC are bringing infected patients to America, allegedly to treat them. But we all know it is currently an untreatable disease. It can only be managed. The entire story of bringing these Ebola patients from West Africa to America stinks to high heaven. Let's say some sane people who understand epidemiology, as I do, say, are you crazy? During a raging Ebola epidemic, you close off all travel from those countries to America. Say, oh, the Republicans are going to... Oh, no, you can't. We don't want them to come in. So now Obama gets up there with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the water carrier Wasserman. The other jackals on the left start screaming about racism towards black people and omitting the whole thing. Oh, it's humanitarian to bring in Ebola patients. They need our care. They're children and people in need with Ebola. We should hug them. We should bring them in. Do you have any idea how insane this nation is? Is there a sane person left in the government? Is there anyone with any sanity left who's not so blinded by greed? Well, whatever. I don't know. I have no answer for you anymore. I've never been this jaded. I mean, I'm a jaded person. I'm cynical. I was cynical at age 7. I was a cynic at 7. My childhood was over at 5, but by 7 I was a cynic. Made for talk radio, but I didn't know it. But now I wake up and I say the world is worse than I thought it was. My father, who was a cynic from the day he was born, I think, in Russia, because if you're not, you die. See, it's dog-eat-dog in the world he came from. And unless you learn how to fight, you're dead. It's that simple. I didn't want to know that. I was an American-born child, man-child in the promised land, green carpets, bed, whatever, toilet, you know, all of a sudden, toothbrushes, dental work twice a year, 2 cleanings a year, the whole thing. And he didn't like it. He thought I was going to get too soft from the American way. And he used to push me around, yell at me, browbeat me. I hated him for it. But he was trying to toughen me up for the real world. So now I wake up and I find out not only was he was right beyond belief how corrupt it is. He would walk the streets of New York and take me by the... I told you the story. I'll tell it one little side note. For whatever the reason is, because I don't think I can talk about this anymore. It's so sickening, I don't think I can take it anymore. Has anyone listening to this show been affected by what I taught you or exposed? I've given you something you heard nowhere else. Has it done anything for your thinking? What has it done for you? Who are you going to vote for? Ted Cruz now? Who do you believe in now? Tell me. It's the Savage Nation. I mean, I guess I should have a good time today. I can't. I just can't even move from this to that. I can't go from this to that. I'd like to be able to jump now to something fun. I can't do it. I feel like my soul became a stone. Would you believe it? I don't know. Maybe this affected me for the rest of my life. It doesn't mean I'm leaving radio. I'm not saying that. I don't know if I could ever have a good time on radio again. I feel like my entire soul from my neck to my groin has become a solid stone. That's how heavy it is. This is one of the heaviest weights I've ever had to carry. I swear to God. You wake up and you read Obama's bringing in Ebola patients from Africa to treat them in hospital in Atlanta hospital. Now, what sense does that make? Why is he bringing them to Emory Healthcare? There must be money involved. Why? Why are they doing this? Why would they bring them here? They could treat them in West Africa. The CDC warns against travel to Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. That makes sense. How about warning us about bringing in anyone? Why don't you just cut off all travel from Guinea, Sierra Leone, Liberia? But no, Obama's having a Ebola conference with leaders from those countries and entourages of hundreds of people. Why? Some of them may be infected and not even know it. You realize that the minute you are infected doesn't mean you show signs of an infection. You know that. How is that going to work? Experts say that an outbreak in the U.S. was not in the cards. I believe the official has said that. Spreading in the population, I'm not that worried about it, said some of the geniuses on tropical medicine. Little risk of a pandemic. He said, I wouldn't be worried to sit next to someone with Ebola virus as long as they don't vomit on you or something. This is what you have now in the universities. This is what it's come down to, that even the doctors are corrupt. Even they'll tell you things that are untrue. The early symptoms of an Ebola infection can mimic malaria, cholera, typhoid fever. Early symptoms are like the flu. Sore throat, fever, headache, muscle aches. Only in later stages do people with Ebola get bleeding, both internally and externally, often through the nose and ears. It's disgusting, right? Now, there's some good news. As a trained epidemiologist, I'd be remiss to not tell you that you have to contact the bodily fluids to contract the disease. The Ebola virus is not easily spread. Well, it's not airborne, let's put it to you that way. So you would have to come into contact with the bodily fluids of an infected person, blood, sweat, vomit, feces, urine, saliva, or semen. And so transmission through casual contact in a public setting could occur, but it's not that likely. However, a sane nation would not permit people with such an infectious disease into their country. But as you well know, we have no health officials anymore. The CDC was sold out during the AIDS epidemic. And as a result, right now, we have a useless CDC, in my opinion. But remember this, the West Africa Ebola outbreak is the largest in history, largest in history, largest in history, largest in history. Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone. If I were in charge of the CDC, I would immediately lobby the president to shut off all travelers from these countries. And instead, Obama's having an Ebola conference with large entourage of so-called experts from these countries. Now, what sane nation would do this? This is unbelievable to me that we've come to this point in American history. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, as we come to the end of hour number three on the Savage Nation today for Monday, August 4th, 2014, the topic is Ebola. It's a very important topic because it's an infectious disease that is often fatal. I'm the only member of the American radio media in the big leagues who happens to have a doctorate, a PhD from the University of California in epidemiology and several other scientific fields. I'm also very fortunate in that going back to 1968, I spent many an hour discussing hemorrhagic fevers on the order of dengue, a Marburg virus, with one of the world's leading experts who I happened to be a friend with while I was in graduate school. He was one of the world's greatest experts on hemorrhagic fevers. In fact, he went to Africa in 1960, to Western Africa, to work on hemorrhagic fevers right out of graduate school after he got his second doctorate from LSU, London School of Economics, I believe. Nevertheless, it doesn't make me a world's expert on virology. I'm not pretending to be so. On the other hand, I think the information that you've gotten today and will be getting over the next few days and weeks and months to come on Ebola is as good as you're going to get from anywhere on the Savage Nation. Let me start by saying again, the government is telling you not to overreact. Well, the opposite of overreacting is underreacting. And the opposite of alarmism is Pollyannaism, which is what we're getting from the CDC and the government. They're telling you, oh, don't worry about it. It's perfectly safe. I didn't say that it's not perfectly safe. I didn't say you can go and drink the bodily fluids of someone with Ebola. I didn't say that. I didn't say the other thing. But both sides of this equation are extreme. And what I've tried to do on the Savage Nation is use logic and find the middle ground in our discussion of this serious Ebola outbreak. Remember this. They have violated the first principle of containing an epidemic. Did you hear what I said? Nobody on earth would agree that there is no risk in bringing Ebola patients to the United States. I said no risk. Even they will admit there's some risk. So why did they do it? They didn't have to do this. The director of the CDC, who was nothing but a politician, said that we need to be compassionate and not hysterical. But Michael Savage says compassion ends where the virus begins. Does risking the lives of innocent people have any logic at all? This is the same CDC that has said nothing about the TB cases coming across the border from South America, Central America, and parts unknown through our Mexican border, which has been erased by his boss, Barack Obama. I've asked today why not use the military and set up bioterrorism containment areas in Africa. After all, we have contingencies for this in case any of our troops were to be attacked by biological agents. Why did we not send them to Africa? If you want to learn more about this, I want you to go to my website, michaelsavage.com. It's now been linked on Drudge. It's on WorldNet Daily. It's a good article, a review article on Ebola. No one has done a better job. And that is, Savage says, America's response is madness. America's response is madness. Panic grows as Nigeria doctor infected. Atlanta hospital receives hate mail. Second American infected returns to USA tomorrow. It goes on and on. It's beyond comprehension that people in this government are so crazy. So crazy that for the sake of what? Why did they bring them here? Well, these are some of the questions that we've been talking about today on the Savage Nation. And I will continue to update on the Ebola epidemic every day right here on the Savage Nation, God willing. Thank you for giving me 15 minutes, and God bless America.
Savage.